Okay, please demonstrate how to bow. Are there any cultural differences? Positions of hands, elbows, head. Is the behind up in the air or down? Please keep it down. Keep it down. yeah, I can do a tutorial right here because it's not the. And there are cultural differences. There's a bow in, say, Theravada countries. There's bows in Mahayana countries. There's bows in Vajrayana countries, and they do it quite differently. But I'll teach you an Ajahn Chah bow. As I can remember one time, there was an ordination, and a candidate was coming from a branch monastery for Ajahn Chah to be the preceptor and give his ordination. And so that very first come in and to start the process of ordination, and of course the first thing you do is bow. And Ajahn Chah said, no. sometimes Ajahn Chah could be merciless, and poor guy got so flustered. And Ajahn Chah was really on him. Because I think a lot of it was not so much on the person who was coming to ordain, but it was the Ajahn who brought him and didn't train him how to bow properly. And so that, so I remember sitting there, and just, oh, that poor guy. But Ajahn Chah was, it's like this, it's not like that. But I'll bow right here, just sort of in this direction. There's a couple different ways. I mean, one is say on one's haunches like that, or like that, whichever is comfortable. A lot of people find that up on your toes like that can be a bit painful. But that's especially in monasteries and in Thai culture, and especially in the countryside. And this is how you grow up doing this, so that it's just really ordinary. Either up on one's toes like that, or down like that. And bringing the hands together at the kind of the heart level, and then raising the hands in Anjali to the forehead, and then bending from the hips, and then the elbows are beside the knees, the hands slightly apart, and keep your butt down. And then bring the forehead down, touch the ground, and then coming up to the chest, the heart area, up to the forehead. Second time, bowing a third time, and then as one finishes, just making it a mindful action where Ajahn Chah. It's actually a feature of Ajahn Chah's monastery. They bow a lot. And because he would train us to, one is, you come into a shrine room, you come into a place of a practice, and the first thing you bow. You go back to your dwelling place, and you put your robes down, you bow. You go to leave your dwelling place. Before you leave, you bow. So that bowing is, you know, on a given day, you bow a lot. I remember one Westerner who came. I said, Lumpa, why do we bow so much here? It's just really, it just seems excessive. And Ajahn Chah said, that's a good exercise. It's good for your health. But it's a really, one, it's a beautiful gesture. Two, it's a nice way of composing oneself. You come into the hall and you compose oneself. Also, just that we end a session and we bow. And it's beginnings and endings are really important. How we do things, because that's tends to that's what carries on. So that shuffling into the shrine room and slump down in a heap, well, it has a different feeling than coming in mindfully and bowing. You get up to leave and you sort of. It has a different feeling if you finish your meditation and say, "Oh yeah, I got to do this." Bow, and then you go, and so it sets a tone that you can carry through. There's a continuity in one's practice that's very helpful. Mm-hmm.